Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello.
So, it's been another 2 weeks.
You forgot to introduce Rich.
Hello, everybody. I sound a lot like Bill Cosby.
Rich isn't here.
Rich isn't here. He's on vacation this week, so...
Bill Cosby isn't here either.
No, thank God. Because we've got to get the show on to put it, you know, all that just...
One day I'll do the entire show that way.
No, you will not.
Yes, I will.
That will be the day I actually do quit.
That'll be the day I die. Good freaking Cosby overdose.
Rich isn't here. He's on vacation. He would have been able to make it last week, but unfortunately I couldn't have. But hopefully he'll be back soon. We miss him.
Yeah.
He's got to spend time with his damn family. Ugh.
Yeah, he's the only one who has a family. Nobody loves us.
No. My mom apparently loves Doctor Who now.
Yeah, I heard that.
She watched 16 episodes of Doctor Who yesterday.
More like Doctor Pooh.
And instead, I stepped into the wrestling ring. And when I say I stepped
into... Did you actually wrestle, or did you just... Okay.
I would break something if I wrestled nowadays, because I am just... I just don't have that anymore. I can't even lift my left shoulder above my head barely, so stupid injury. I couldn't do any real wrestling. But I did climb in the ring, which is even harder than it looks. So
I had an eye exam yesterday.
Uh-oh, are your eyes okay? Because I just had laser eye surgery, and that was a pain in the
butt. I went in to get checked for contacts, and then I tried to put them in for 10 minutes, and I said, fuck this shit. I do not know how anyone does that.
Yeah.
You know, I was losing my mind. And they call it a class, but there wasn't a class. It was just some fucking young girl who's younger than me just staring at me as I kept trying and failing to poke myself in the eye.
It's like if I see anything coming towards my... To keep my eye open for that needle, that was like a nightmare.
Hold your eyelashes. Hold your upper eyelid up with your eyelashes. How the hell do you do that? People are nuts.
That's a woman. They deal with their eyelashes all the time when they put eyeliner on and everything else. I'm just like, I can't do that. But, I'm going to go back and have my eye lasered again in December. They're clearing it up. Slow. It takes. I was kind of freaked out because, you know, here it was like a week before the thing. And I'm like, I can still see these spots. And these spots I thought were supposed to go away with this shot. But apparently it takes a long time to clear blood out of your eye. So they basically do it in waves. They get as much as they can the first time, and then they have you come back 4 months later and do it again. And then probably that'll clear out more of it. So they do it one more time or something like that. They didn't tell me how many times it actually happened. So I will probably be broke by the time this is all done, but it's very important. My eyes are very important. But
yes, eyes are important.
I'm seeing a lot better. I've still got the big spots in my eye, but I can tell a huge difference. They had me, you know, when you read your little letters and stuff, I could barely see anything out of that left eye the first time I went before they gave me the shot. And I could read the bigger stuff, but as it got to the smaller stuff, it was like, yeah, that's a blob, blob, blob. That looks like it might be a X, you know, and they're like, yeah. And then this time I read like 4 lines further. Like I read all the way down to the 20, 25 line for that eye. So it's way better. So, I mean, I can basically put that splotch out of my mind when I'm now. So, you know. It's there if I'm focusing on something, it just kind of fades into the background. So it's really good. But the surgery itself is scarier than you think it is, because they take this lens and they hold your eyelids open with it, and it's pressed right against your eyeball. Your eyeball's numbed, but it hurt for several days afterwards. It felt like something bruised my eyeball.
That makes sense.
So it hurt, but I mean, it was not really that it was a pain, that it was just that annoying feeling that it feels like you get something in your eye all the time.
Probably like one of those eye aches when you have a headache that seems to be focusing the eye.
Yeah. And I think it made it worse. The surgery may have not been so bad, but, I had a world's worst sinus headache when I went into that. And, so they're shining this bright laser into your eye and you're like, oh, you already got a sinus headache and it hurts. And then you're seeing this bright light. And then the worst part is after it's over, he didn't tell me right away that I'm not going to see shit out of that eye for about 10 minutes. I mean, it looks like you're totally blind in that eye. And I'm like, Doc, I can't see nothing. He's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's normal. And then, like, within a minute, I could look up and I could see just the lights out of that eye. I could see the bright lights and they all looked red tinged. I'm like, whoa. But, you know, it was a freaky situation and it burned the back of your eyes. I can't really describe the feeling. It hurt, but not like what you think of pain. It was just kind of like quick, like tendrils of pain that go down from the back of your eye, just like hot pain. But it's fine. It healed up. It's healing up pretty good. So it'll get taken care of. I know people are sick and tired of hearing about my eye by now, especially Kush. So
I don't care. I do not care, man. Okay, but, Cupid.
Uh-oh. Okay.
That's still stupid. No, I'm just getting the same messages. The best one, though, is that a guy sent me a random message asking me for advice. I don't know why he suddenly decides that I am the giver of advice.
Was it relationship advice?
I don't know, because I did not respond to him. If he wanted to ask me for advice, then he should have asked me a goddamn question in the initial message. I'm not going to reply to him saying, what is it? What is it, young child? What can I do for you?
Kush is like the celibate monk on the Jesus top of the Christ. Mountain for OkCupid.
Sight's ridiculous.
So,
we have a voicemail. I'll get it out right now.
Yeah.
From Big Steven. It's about last show. Which, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel like last show happened like 18 years ago. It seems like it was forever ago.
It doesn't seem like that long ago.
Okay. Well, here's Big Steven.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Big Steven. Hey, I was just listening to the latest episode, and, dude, that was fucking awesome. Like, I haven't finished it all yet. I'm only in within the first 20 minutes, because you guys are getting ready to go into GameStop. You guys should do more talks like that. That was really, really moving and touching. Like, you know, it sounds kind of, like, lame, but, Kush, like, that was fucking awesome, dude. I've never heard you open up like that before, and I totally support that. That's awesome. It helped me understand you better, you weird bastard. So, and I mean, I've talked to Rob about this type of stuff before many times, but you know, it really makes you think, like, what other people see beautiful in another person. And, I just felt I had to call in and be like, you know, awesome. Awesome job, guys. Like, do more talks like that. I love it. Usually it's Rob being the sappy one, but he first turned the table. I was not expecting that at all. And it's funny because in the show description, you guys are like, oh, this is a weird show. Rich isn't here, you know, like, just really good. So, I really wish Rich could have been on that conversation, knowing that he has kids and a wife, I'm assuming. I'm pretty sure it's his wife. So, good show, guys. I'm getting ready to listen to the rest of it. And, game on.
There you go.
That was a nice voicemail. So, yes. Although it did sound like Steven was taking a sub to GameStop, but but yeah, it was a.
where my mind goes is that I heard that and thought, oh, he's taking a Subway sandwich to GameStop. Why would he do that? That doesn't make any sense.
It is Steven, so it's possible that he did take a Subway sandwich into Subway or into GameStop. But before we get into talk to what we've been playing, I thought it was kind of interesting to do a little discussion about the Disney Infinity products because they released today. I absolutely know nothing about the game, but seeing the game on the shelves, I just can't really get excited about it. Everything seems very expensive, even worse than Skylanders.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know the pricing. I haven't paid much attention, even though it looks like something that is right up my alley, but whatever.
It's like, each figure is like $13. $13 or $14. I think it's $13. $12.99. For the same kind of figures that you get out of Skylanders.
No, they're not. They're known properties.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still, it's like, hey, there's a $5 premium for Disney to bring out their own property. It just makes no sense. You can buy an action figure cheaper than
You'll be all on it when Tangled figures come out.
Well, fuck yeah, Tangled in Marvel and Star Wars, then I might be bored, but, you know, it just seems like to me all the figures are shitty. I don't care about any of those properties that they brought.
It's like, here, we get Pirates, and then we get the Lone Ranger. I don't care.
I don't know. I just don't feel like paying more money for that kind of shit anymore. Like, Skylanders, I lost interest after the first game. I didn't even buy the second game. And I was all...
Pokemon. I'll buy a Wii U then.
Yeah, but then, you know, you don't want that, because then you'll have to buy every figure that you want to be in your game.
No, I will buy every figure regardless. That's what I'm saying, Nintendo. Stop being stupid. You want people to buy the Wii U? Release a Pokemon game for it that is like Skylanders with figures. You will rake in the money.
Yeah, but it'd be some shitty game like Pokemon Dungeon or whatever.
No, it doesn't matter.
You just got the damn figures.
The quality doesn't matter. You realize that. Nobody gives a shit. People buy every Pokemon game, even the shitty ones.
You do realize they sell Pokemon figures without a game, right?
I don't care. They need to hook in that little bit of marijuana, which is this whole Skylanders portal bullshit.
So you'll buy a Pokemon game, but you won't buy Pokemon figures unless they're attached to the game. Got it.
Yeah, why would I?
Anyway, let's move on to what we've been playing. It looks like you played some more Rogue Legacy.
I didn't. I did not change that.
Oh, I have not played any either, so.
I haven't played Dragon's Crown since the last show either.
I've played a little Dragon's Crown. I do really enjoy Dragon's Crown. I've just been trying to get through Tales of Zillia. And everybody I talk to about freaking Dragon's Crown, like, has played that game, has enjoyed it. Like, I've taken my Vita to work and showed my boss, and he was like, I've got to get this game, because he's talking about getting a PS3.
I apparently hate the game, because I gave it a 3 out of 5, and that means it's horrible. Because a 3 out of 5 on a 5-point scale is the worst score in the world.
Reading your review, I can understand about the whole monotony of everything, but I've played role-playing games and stuff like that, so to me, the grinding is just kind of the same kind of...
Don't mind grinding. And another thing that I didn't mention that really gets annoying is when you play online and you're playing with a whole bunch of people, and like the whole problem with the whole hand that I was really annoying, then when you have 4 people that just stop and don't start attacking enemies and just you see a bunch of hands moving across the screen, that's annoying too.
So in this, if they get an item, do you get the experience point or the money for it too?
No, it's their item.
As far as I know. A shitty loot system then, but I don't know, I think the game's fun. I've played as the elf and the sorceress, and I've played as the knight now. I was given some of the characters. I really like playing as the sorceress just because I like call her magical attacks and stuff, like the tornado, magical like tornado and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know, I've had a lot of fun with it. And
I think the gameplay is fun. I just think the game around it is not the most well-designed game.
As long as I don't think about that every level looks... all these are different backgrounds, and you're just going down a single path and killing enemies.
It would be nice if they were just randomly generated. Like, you have the same backgrounds, and, like, you go back to a level that's different each time. Something. Yeah.
It does feel like a classic arcade game in that way. It's always going to feel the same. Yeah.
It's Golden Axe. Golden Axe for the new generation. Yeah. So it upgrades certain things, but then it doesn't with everything, so then it just feels like... I wish you would have, you know, upgraded the entire experience and not just little bits of it.
Exactly. So, I think it's fun. I know Rich is loving it, and you know, I'll play some more of it. It's just that game that I can put down and play when I've got a few minutes if I want to, or you know, an hour or so, and get some progress and just put it down. It's not going to be anything that's like, oh, I forgot how to play this.
And people are stupid. They read my review that I say I got tired of the game after a few hours. Does that mean I stopped playing after a few hours? No, that just means I got tired of it. And then I kept playing despite being tired of it. Because you know what? If I stopped playing after that, I would have never experienced a multiplayer. Because the shit unlocks way too late in the game.
Yeah,
the
online
multiplayer. I don't understand why it does that. I know the idea is that, oh, it's like a tutorial before that. But that's stupid. I don't care.
Yeah. So, anyway, I do like it. You didn't, but I liked it.
I just didn't love it.
I respect your opinion.
I think it's a good game. It's not a great game.
Right. Yeah.
3 out of 5. Positive score.
Yes. That would be, even though it seems like a 68 out of 100, but it's not really because it's average.
It's a five-point scale.
It's a five-point scale, so it's average.
There is not a lot of room in there.
Alrighty. And then the last thing that we've played is I did pick up Charlie Murder Friday morning. I had not been very interested in this game, but seeing your review on it and seeing several other people, seeing Lunchbox and you talk about it on Twitter, I was like, maybe I'll give it a shot. So I downloaded the trial. That game's really fucking fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
I was like, it really feels like the Scott Pilgrim game or River City Ransom in that aspect as well. It controls really nice. I was think I was scared of it because I didn't realize it was kind of a side-scroller beat-em-up. I thought it was just almost like the third version of
the Dishwasher.
Yeah, and I'm like, those games get so fucking ridiculously hard that they just don't become fun. And this is starting to get hard, but you can go back and grind and stuff. So yeah. you can level
it
up.
It gets hard in like the last fourth of it. So. But I mean, I was able to beat it.
How long is that game?
I'm trying to think. Maybe it was, I'd say maybe the 6 hours-ish.
Okay, that's not too bad.
I don't know. And you get to, if you beat it once, then you can play through it again on a harder difficulty, and then you'll unlock a different ending from that.
Mm.
And then you can play through it again on a harder difficulty, and then unlock the best ending.
Nice. So,
there's a lot to it. The multiplayer is fun. It's the first time I've ever played with Craig, Mr. Prof. Jesser, Professor Jesser, over at Sign In Podcast.
So and you Boofdom. Said it.
I didn't put two and two together, but that's the same bastard who's been gifting me stuff on Steam.
That motherfucker! How dare he?
I want to smack him in the face.
Damn right. But so you said that was pretty good, except there was a little bit of lag.
Yeah,
but
I'm not sure whose side it was on. It might have been Craig's, just because I noticed at times it would, you know, do like the like lag warning thing, like where it's like it shows you the connection and all that crap under his name.
Right.
So I think that also affected our chatting too, because sometimes there was like a delay when they would understand. I'm like, I'm sitting at a QR code because you have a phone that you can take QR code,
right,
and take pictures to unlock items. And I'm like, there's a QR code here. Hey everybody, I'm standing right here. Look, QR code. Have you taken a picture yet? And then like nobody's responding. And I'm like, QR code, QR code right over here. Hey everybody, they just going on without me. I'm like, I'm not even. They can't even see me on the screen anymore. I'm like, can you come back here? Jesus.
So wait, but you can take a picture of it, right? I thought maybe everybody had to take
like,
a picture.
Because I beat the game, so I knew where a lot of this crap was. I'm just telling them where things are.
Yeah, that game's really fun.
There's a lot of crap to pick up.
Yeah, I got to the graveyard area, but
that's pretty early on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I hadn't played very much of it. I got beat by that boss there, so I was like, okay.
The thing that I find really annoying though is just all the sections where you're like playing a rhythm game, or some of the sections that are more like a side-scrolling shooter thing. You know, like a whatever. I don't like those that much.
Yeah, if you drive a car and
yeah, they're just. I mean, those car bits and stuff like that are okay, but the parts where you have to play music are just horrible.
Yeah, especially considering I think you only have to hit one button.
No.
No? Okay, the first one I did was just hitting one button.
What character are you?
I'm playing the female.
Yeah. we were playing online, that's who Craig was playing as, and then the second one we were doing, she has a tambourine. I don't know if she had something else in the first rock.
Looks like I think she was singing in the first one.
Yeah. Well, in the second one, she has a tambourine, and she like doesn't play shit for like the first minute, and then she plays like 10 notes, and that's it. So, quick tip: if you want to get that achievement for 100%ing a song, getting all the notes, use her.
I may have gotten that on the first try. I don't
probably
remember.
Because she doesn't do shit. I think this game is a travesty because it depicts women horribly. It's like,
oh,
they can't
God,
do anything.
Fuck off. Shut up. but yeah, Charlie Murder, $10. Definitely pick that up. That's the one of, that was out of the four games that was released for the Summer Arcade. That was the one I was least excited about and playing.
I was surprised that it was $10. I thought it'd be $15.
Yeah, and a flashback that comes out next week is only $10 as well. And that game was really fucking good on the Super Nintendo. But just because it was good back in the day doesn't mean it was going to be good now. And I guess that's a good segue.
I'm so hopeful for the TMNT game.
I hear it's really short, but who cares?
I don't care about that if it's good.
I just want it to be fun.
Yeah.
But old games that are new now, DuckTales Remastered.
Ooh.
Is a fucking terrible game.
Woo!
It's boring as hell.
Woo!
And it looks pretty.
Woo!
But it is full of one-hit deaths like an old Mega Man game, and that really fucking pisses me off.
Ooh.
I don't know, man. It's the pogo, everybody was complaining about the pogo stick jump, and to me, that wasn't that bad in the game. Like, there's like, oh, I'm always missing, but I didn't really ever miss where I was going. The only problems I ran into is like, oh, okay, you've got to hurry up and jump across here because there's rocks coming after you. And it's like, okay, but if you fuck up, the rock hits you, you're dead instantly. So it's like you don't have a chance to even get started pogoing sometimes, and the rock will hit you. And this is on normal, and I couldn't get any further on normal past that rock. You only get like 3 lives in a level. Each level can last like 30 minutes. And you're just like, ugh. So I put it on easy because I'm like, well, maybe I'll just try to breeze through it on easy. Well, easy goes the opposite direction. You get 6 hits instead of 3 hits and you die, but you have infinite lives. So there's no challenge whatsoever because you can just keep going. Uh-oh.
Nothing. Ignore it.
Okay. So you can just keep going and going and you'll eventually could beat it just because you're going to learn this stuff. But I don't know, man. It's just a boring game. It's just not very much fun. I feel really bad that I paid $12 for this nonsense. But yeah, so that's DuckTales Remastered. I wouldn't recommend it. Stuff that I definitely would recommend, though, is Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Okay, you can put in the chat when I can listen again, because I don't want to hear jack shit about this.
Oh, okay. This is a game by Starbreeze. You play as two characters. You play as a younger brother and older brother, and they each have special reactions to people. So if you play as the little brother, you're more annoying. If you play as the older brother, you're more determined. This is one of those games I don't want to really say much, not just because Kush isn't listening, but I don't really want to spoil a lot of stuff. But there's just scenes in this game that when you see them, they tell a story better than anything I've ever seen, because there is no dialogue in the game. But there's one scene in particular that just broke my heart, because I'm just like, oh God, I know what happened there. You can see it with what the character does and the scene around him, and you're just like, holy fuck. And it was just such a powerful moment. But I've got to say that Brothers is one of the better games that I've played. The controls are a little weird, because you control the older brother with the left stick and the younger brother with the right stick. And it's kind of weird when one brother will cross over and he's on the opposite side of the screen as the older brother, and your mind just kind of flip-flops there, and it's really hard to control sometimes, and you'll run one into the other. I kind of wish there was a way they could have done it where there was an auto follow, so that way you only had to move one character at a time. And also, because you're using both sticks to move two different characters, there's no camera button, except for you can rotate the camera with the right and left buttons on top of the, on top of the controller, the RB and LB buttons. And you do your use of what to talk to people or items and stuff with the triggers. So, but that's pretty much, it's a very unique game. It's $15, and it's just it's amazing to see a game like that. People were talking about how The Last of Us tells a story about all the shit that's laying around and stuff, and I never really got that much of a feeling out of The Last of Us. But The Brothers, man, it's awesome. So, next thing I wanted to talk about is Tales of Zillia. It's a PS3 RPG. It's the newest in the line of Tales games. It came out 2 years ago in Japan, so it's kind of a little bit behind the times. This game has a very fucking slow start. When you start out, you get to choose between two characters, Mila and Jude. And basically, you play through the game as one character, and you play as both characters throughout the game, but basically you're seeing the tale from one side or the other. And apparently after you beat the game, it wants you to play as the other character as well. So that's kind of, to me, that's kind of lame, but I figure I'll finish it with Mila and then go through with Jude some later point down the road to get the rest of the story. Cause to me, all the stuff that coincides would be boring to see right after you just played through that part. So, but the game is your typical Tales combat. It's all action based. The level up system is really, different for a Tales game as well. In the older Tales games, it was like, when you hit level 5, you're going to unlock this. Well, this one almost has like a grid, like a Final Fantasy X type of grid system. Except it goes in like a pattern where you can go down a few levels, and every time you unlock so many of the levels surrounding a skill, you unlock that skill. It's really hard to explain, but it's just a pattern. And as you expand the pattern out, the bigger the pattern gets. So it takes longer to unlock the skills and stuff. But it's really fun. But the problem is when everybody levels up at the same time, it takes a while to plan out your thing the way you want to level up your character. So a lot of times you're just hitting select and letting it auto-level, which it does a pretty good job of leveling like your healers to do to raise their intelligence and magical abilities. But the game is fun. The story so far was pretty weak. It took me about 10 hours before I was like, I actually gave a shit about the characters. Playing as the female, Mila, she's a spirit. She's basically a god, so she just kind of looks down on everybody. Not like meanly, just like nobody means anything to her because she's got a more important mission than actually dealing with people. But her growth in the game is pretty cool, what happens to her later and stuff. So I really enjoy what I've played in the game now. I do hear that it's a pretty short game on the first playthrough, like 30 hours maybe. Some people are saying 25, and I'm like 20 hours into it now or something like that. But then I also tend to take longer searching and going doing all the side quests and stuff to level up. It's not really particularly hard game, as some of the Tales games seem really hard, but I've been leveled up pretty good. One thing this game does kind of do, though, is it will have areas that you can go into that are way higher than you are, and you can accidentally go into those if you don't know where you're going. But you kind of like the first battle, and you're like, okay, my party almost died, so I probably shouldn't go that way. So there's a lot of that, but it just feels weird that they don't tell you, hey, you probably don't want to go here. So, but the game's pretty decent. It's weaker to me than Tales of Vesperia. It doesn't look as good, which really shocked me because, A, this is a PS3 exclusive. And B, this game is like came out like 2 years after Tales of Zillia, so or not Tales of Tales of Vesperia. So, anyway, Mario and Luigi's Dream Team. I've been playing through that. I had just finished Paper Mario, so I finished the other Mario RPG. This is a 3DS game. Basically, it takes place in an overworld in there, which is kind of overhead, isometric view, like your classic Mario RPG. But then you'll find these stone pillows that Luigi will go to sleep on, and you actually enter his dreams to save the pillow people. That's the name of them. They're pillows, in case you didn't pick up on that. You go into their dreams, into his dream, and you try to find them, and it's all side-scrolling there. But the unique thing about the game is, just like Bowser's Inside Story, you have to interact with Bowser on the outside. Well, in this game, it's Luigi on the outside. So you'll see these Luiginaries items in the background of the world. Like you'll see like a Luigi face, and if you hit B, Luigi will spin back into it. And so, like, if you interact with the bottom's touchscreen, like, oh, scratch Luigi's nose and you'll make him sneeze. And when he sneezes, he might blow stuff up so you can actually reach it. There's a mustache that if you pull on his mustache, Mario can grab it in the dream world and it'll flame up on the platforms. And there's just little areas like that. The problem with these games is the tutorials. Every time you get to something, it takes 5 minutes to explain something that would take 2 seconds in any other game. So it's just really annoying, kind of like Mark writing on paper in the background.
I was not writing on anything. I was folding a piece of paper. so that I could doodle on it while you talk about shit I don't care about.
Well, maybe if you care, if you listen, you might care.
I listen. Tales of whatever, Exilia. And Dream Teams that don't feature Michael Jordan.
But yeah, I really wasn't into this game at first, but it's kind of became one of my go-to games. I'm laying down in bed to go to sleep, and I'm just like, I'll play a little bit. So it's not bad. It's just I don't think it has the same charm as the original GBA game, and I wasn't the biggest fan of Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story either. So just to me, the side-scrolling stuff is very boring and tedious, and it doesn't look very good. Which is funny because it's a Mario game. You'd think the side-scrolling stuff would make more sense, but in RPG world, there's nothing that makes you think, this is a hard puzzle to figure out. So, then the last full game I wanted to bring up was there's a 3DS title called Steamworks Dig on the 3DS store. I think it's maybe $9.
So that's the actual name of it, because I thought this was a Steam game called Dig with Steamworks in it. And I'm like, why the hell are you telling me that? I don't need to know that it's a Steamworks game.
No, it's Steamworks Dig. So you play this little robot, like steampunk robot in the Old West. And if anybody remembers, one of my favorite early XBLI live indie games was Miners Dig Deep. This is that game with a story. So basically, the whole idea of the game is, you're this little robot, and you come to the mine because somebody, your dad or something, had run the mine, and your whole idea is that you're digging to try to follow the clues to find out where he disappeared to. And so you'll mine down into an area, and you'll fight little monsters with your pickaxe and stuff. And you can only carry so many items early on. You have a little lantern with you that'll run down, and once you're out of light, you can't see anything, so you'll have to come back up, sell all your crap, and you'll just keep going down. It sounds so fucking boring, but when you play the damn game, it's like, oh, you're suddenly like have spent 2 hours doing this stupid shit, and you're like, wow, I don't know why that's fun, but it's just something that's easy to play for, 10 minutes or an hour. It's just one of those really addictive little games, and it's so much fun. But it does have some Metroid things to it where you won't have the skill that yet until you find it later on in the game, and you'll be going back to areas. There's all these other mine shafts and stuff that you can go into that are puzzles, and you're like, I can't figure out how to get past this. But later you'll go back because you'll have the skill, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense now. And you might get more money, or you might get more of the orbs that power that. There's basically two types of money so far. There's actual money, and then these orbs that you can use to buy teleporters. They upgrade your weapons and stuff. You get like some skills, like, okay, if you hold down and hit B, you'll jump really high if you hold down the button a little bit. But also it consumes steam, so that you have to actually find these puddles of water, and when your robot gets in them, he'll suck it up. So you can't just keep using this power all the time. You have to kind of say, okay, I've only got one shot with this ability, so I better hold on to it in case I fall somewhere and get stuck. If you die, all your ore and stuff that you found will be there. You're kind of like a roguelike where all your gear will be there if you can get back to it. So you might want to pick all that up again, and so you can go make your sales and stuff. You get teleporters that'll teleport you all the way back up to the top, so stuff can be easier to sell if you want to carry a couple of those. You'll find some random ones as well. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just a fun game. It's good. I highly recommend it. Probably the best thing I've played in the last 2 weeks, as sad as that is. And I got to tell a big shout out to Big Steven on that, because I didn't know anything about this game until he said something about it. And apparently it was there was a Steamworks Dig on regular DS as well. So this is just the 3DS remake of it too. So if you've got a DSi or something, you might want to try that out as well. And the last thing I'll talk about is I played the Wonderful 101 demo, which is a Platinum game. And I really enjoyed the demo for this game, even though I have fuck all what was going on. Basically, you start out as a one little superhero, and you get a superhero team of citizens that can do different abilities. And this is one of those games, when you play it, you're like, I really can't see this on any other system but the Wii U. This is a Wii U game. Basically because you'll find, when you find citizens, you'll have to draw little pictures on the gamepad, like a three, I guess you could do this on 3DS as well, but it wouldn't look as cool. When you find like several citizens, if you draw a straight line on your gamepad, you'll make a sword. If you hit A when you've got the sword made, you'll actually start using the sword. So basically, the enemies, your citizens become the sword, and they'll swing themselves, you'll swing them around and kill things. If you hit like X or Y, I don't remember which button it is, they will actually do it on their own. So if there's a bunch of enemies attacking you, you can just say, okay, start killing these enemies by making your citizens into a sword. When you come into citizens in the world, I didn't realize this at first, but if you draw a circle on your gamepad, you'll make a circle on the screen that, of all the citizens, and if you surround those citizens, they become superheroes as well. So the more of these people you collect, it's kind of like Pikmin. The more you collect, the easier it is to kill stuff. There are big bosses. There's lots of little missions to do. You'll come to an area, it's like, oh, you need to figure out the puzzle here. And there's little areas where you'll go inside of a building, and suddenly that's on your gamepad. You can't see it on the TV screen because all you see is the overhead view. So you'll have to actually look at the almost first-person perspective on the gamepad. It's really fun, and it comes out in September, like the weekend before GTA 5. So I'm real excited about this game. I think I will pick it up. It looks like a lot of fun, even though I have no fucking clue what's going on. It's just one of those games that kind of drop you in the demo, and you're like, I have no idea what you're doing, but you kind of learn as you go. So it's kind of like a cross between, I said, Pikmin and Katamari, and there was some other game I said, but it's really a unique game, and it will not sell, and it's not gonna make the Wii U.
It's not like many games are gonna sell on the Wii U.
Exactly, they need to bring something out good. But it's when I see games like this, I'm like, okay, this is what the gamepad's for, and nobody's talking about it.
That was the one game since the Wii U's announcement that I've been excited for, but I'm not gonna buy a Wii U for it.
See, Nintendo, if you could sell two games right now if you just bring out Animal Crossing. You will sell a Wii U, Animal Crossing, and a Wonderful 101. This is all on you, Nintendo.
That's a horrible idea, because if Animal Crossing is out, I'm not going to buy a Wonderful 101 because I'm never going to play it then. I'm going to be too busy in Animal Crossing. You just screwed Platinum Games. Good job. They're out of business because of you.
It's your fault.
It's your fault for releasing Animal Crossing so soon.
But I didn't.
You just did.
No.
In this figurative bullshit world, or it's a literal world now that literal means figurative too. Fucking God almighty, that's stupid.
What have
shit.
You been playing?
I play this game called Ibn Ab for the PS3. It's a downloadable game, and it's a interesting little puzzle platformer. You're basically just moving from left to right, and you're trying to get past these little areas by jumping on each other and whatnot. It's a really fun game, but the problem is it's really focused on co-op. Cause if you play single player, you still control both players. And you control them simultaneously, and you will have to do things, you know, really precisely. I mean, there's not much room for error with a lot of these puzzles too, so.
Who made it?
I can't remember.
Oh, did you get a code to review it or
yeah.
something? Oh, okay.
And the last game that it reminds me of is that Schizoid game for Xbox Live Arcade that was really long ago, since you had to control both things with the two analog sticks at the same time if you played by yourself. And I like it, but it worked more in Schizoid just because it was there's more like just tiny little levels. But in here, it's just you keep going forward and it gets to a point where it's just kind of ridiculous. And you know, playing co-op is fun. I played a bit of co-op and that was good, but it's also a problem because you need that precision. And if you get a shitty co-op partner, it still sucks then. So my experience with the game was that single player is pretty much just for most people, it would be impossible to go through it. So if you don't have a good co-op friend, I wouldn't recommend picking it up because single player is not that great. Just because of how difficult it will be. It really gets way, way difficult really soon. And playing with randoms is a, who knows what you'll get out of that. My experience was not that great. And I love that, like the one comment on that review is that, oh, you don't like it because the single player is too difficult? I just knocked it because it's a very hard thing. And it's like, you look at other reviews, everyone's talking about how it's practically impossible single player. Who freaking who? I don't, it's a bad idea to do something like that. I don't like games that focus on multiplayer only. Especially if, I mean, if they have single player, then do something different.
Right. Like
something that's a bit more viable. But, yeah, it's a good game. There is a trial for it. I don't know how far that goes into the game, but at least there is that. Which I don't know how frequent that is on PS3 now, if it's still as infrequent as it always was or not, but it was nice to see that that is available so you can try it out.
That's so weird on PS3. I think that's a problem they need to fix.
Yeah, well, who knows? I also played Guncraft.
Which Man, is this is the game of the year, right?
Exactly what you think it is. It's Modern Warfare and Minecraft, and it sucks.
Isn't there enough of those games already?
It's because they all suck. So this sucks the least, but it doesn't make it not suck. It is just so bad, and there are so many issues with it. The servers will just all disappear, and there's no way of getting them back, and there's no telling how long it'll be until they return. It's usually not that long. It's like 5 minutes or so. But having them just all disappear and the game basically unplayable unless you have, you know, LAN play, is just kind of shitty. Mm-hmm. And there's just little bugs and hiccups in it. The shooting feels terrible. The spawn points are horrible. There's this one level I mentioned in the review where it's, you start off in this like carrier plane up in the sky, and then you can fall out because you always have a parachute in the game.
Uh-huh.
But everyone starts in the damn plane. So people just like, there's like a, I don't know, 3 or 5 second, invulnerability period. But it's just like, everyone just keeps shooting each other in the plane, or they jump out, and then people just shoot people as they parachute. So the way to win that map is just fucking try your best to get down there, get safe, find a hiding spot, and then shoot people as they parachute out. Be that first person down there.
That sounds like an awesome level until you realize people are assholes and won't play it right.
Because there's no reason to play it right. Why would you? It's all about the score. It's all about the Benjamins. And one thing that really pisses me off more than I think it's probably an irrational anger over it, but there are doors in the game. You can't open them. You have to remove the blocks, because in the game you have a tool that can remove and add blocks. So if you want to go through a door, you can't open it. You have to remove the fucking door.
That's so stupid.
That's the dumbest thing in the world. I see a door. I'm like, oh, I can go through here. No, I can't. Well, then what's the point of having the door? I could just go through the wall, too.
It's the equivalent.
I already know that there's a building inside there. Don't give me a door and just be like, oh, you got to remove it. You can't open it.
It's the equivalent in real life. You walk around taking doors off their hinges to get through them.
It's so stupid. No, and it makes it also that, you know, basically removing a door is as difficult as taking a sledgehammer to the wall right next to it. Because that's just as viable in the game. Just remove the wall. It's so stupid. I wish it was better, but it's just...
Is it a full game, or is it one of those Steam, like...
It's a full game. It's a full release. It's not a early access game.
It ain't like Mercenary.
No, it's not an early access game. It's a release. It's a full release. It's a final release. So, and there's no single player at all. There's no bot player or anything. So, I mean, one of the interesting thing it has over, like, I played Ace of Spades just to see how that holds up to it, because that's the, like, latest big one that came out. I think it came out in April. That game is an utter mess. That game is like complete garbage now. So Guncraft is your best chance at getting anything decent with Minecraft and a Call of Duty or whatnot. But you can create both levels or guns. And the problem with that is that there's no tutorial at all or any guide. They don't tell you shit. Like, I had to figure out for myself that when you're building a gun, you're just building blocks, like if you're building a level, so you're going to build this giant thing. And then you have to place where the muzzle is and the handle is, and then you can add stats to it. They don't tell you any of that shit. They don't tell you how to get to the blocks, the section that gives you those blocks, because they're special blocks. They're not in the regular little like scroll menu. It's so dumb. I wish it was better, but it's just poopy. So I gave another copy to Big Steven.
Yeah. He seemed excited about that, but he won't be when he plays it. Although he loves shitty games, so there's a chance.
He played a bit of it. Said he agreed with my review for the most part, I think, so. Mm. I don't know. He might still like it, though, even then. But another game I've been playing is Beat Buddy, Tale of the Guardians, which is this I don't even know how to call it. It's like Aquaria, sort of. I don't want to call it a platformer because you're swimming. You're this, I guess you're in water, yeah. You're this little, like, creature thing that is, I'm trying to think what you are. You're not Melody. You're some musical term.
Is it made by the same people that made it?
No.
Oh.
I love the art style. I love the art. It looks beautiful. But there's a problem with the art, and that is that it is not, oftentimes it'll be hard to distinguish between background that is just static background and actual background you can't get past, like background that is actual, a physical part of the game. So then you're looking at this area, you're like, I can't go through there. Oh, wait, yes, I can. But
yeah, I see what you're saying. Look at the screenshots.
So frustrating. But, I mean, it's a beautiful game. It's not that bad. It's fun so far. The music is good. I might, if I can get the audio out, put it at the end of the show or the beginning of the show. It starts with the worst cinematic I've ever seen in my life. Because it is a guy who is, I didn't even realize he was speaking English for, like, the first 30 seconds or something. Cause you just every now and again hear the words that are on the screen, but he's going like, you know, trying to do like beatboxing. And then okay, like beatbox for like 5 seconds. Then he says a word and then beatbox again. I'm like, oh my God. And it lasted for like 5 minutes. And I was just like laughing to myself in a very like passive aggressive way. Like this is, I didn't even want to keep playing the game. I was like, if this doesn't stop soon, I'm just going to throw my computer out the window. I'm done. I'm going to quit games, everything. I don't want to do it. It was so annoying, and it was horrible. And I was worried that was going to happen throughout the game. But it doesn't. I mean, there are occasional bits like that where a person talks, and it's kind of, you just hear like the weird beatboxing noise and not any talking. So
weird.
But music is good, though. And I like the fact that the actual music and the game interact with each other. Instead of it just being some bullshit where it's like, this is a game about music and all that, but we just have, you know, background music. There are points where, like, especially when you get in this little vehicle where you move to the beat and then you move faster and then the music starts changing as you consecutively hit it at the right time on the second beat. So, it's an interesting game. The review will hopefully be up tomorrow. If not then, it'll be up on Tuesday. So, it's worth checking out. I think it's only $10 too. Guncraft is $15. That's another stupid thing.
Wow.
But yeah, Beat Buddy is it's not terrible. There was a huge problem. I think it was the third level and the fourth area of that level. I ran into a bug where the entire background and everything disappeared. And it was an area where I'm in the vehicle and I have to get through this area as rocks are falling and there's a bottom so that I can get crushed. And I couldn't see where the fucking path was. And then I exited the game, returned, still gone. So I had to maneuver through that thing just out of sheer luck. Because I wasn't sure if going through the level selection and then playing it through there, if that would unlock it and keep me progressing through the story. Because I sure as hell wasn't going to start over. But I managed to get through it after maybe 10 minutes or so. So it wasn't that terrible. But that is a huge bug, especially the fact that it did not reset after I reset the game.
Right.
That was the nightmare. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. But it's okay. Yeah, and then last game I played a little bit. Well, I played two. I played Turbo Super fucking Super Stunt Squad, which is based on that Turbo movie. I got it from Redbox because I had a free rental. It was the only game there that I didn't have. There wasn't a big selection in general, and it had a free code that was going to expire that day, so I was like, what the hell? And I put in this game that is about a movie that is about the snail who just wants to race, and it's all about racing, and the game is not about racing. It's about skateboarding. There's no actual skateboards, but it is a fucking old-school Tony Hawk game, like Tony Hawk 1 and 2, where you have to collect T-U-R-B-O. You got to find these hidden items. You gotta get a certain score. It is the fucking weirdest thing in the world. I don't understand how somebody decided, like, you know what would be a really good idea for this fucking movie game about racing? Why don't we make it about old Tony Hawk games?
But wait a second, I'm confused. There's no skateboard. It's just
no, like, I mean, you drive around, like, basically. Like, you hit the gas, so instead of, like, pushing off your skateboard and being on a skateboard, you're just driving around this little closed-off area. Because, I mean, how is a fucking snail going to use a skateboard? It has nothing to push off of.
Well, no way. How's a fucking snail going to be in a car race?
Okay? I don't know. How's the snail going to race in the Indy 500 and win? Because I'm pretty sure that's probably what happens at the end of that movie. I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
It drives around on the track and never gets run over by a car. And people are okay with it being in the fucking race. It's like, the snail's going to race with all these cars? That's fine. Sounds good.
Well, makes if sense. This movie was about golf and it was a woman snail, they wouldn't allow it on the course in Florida. I'm just saying.
Just saying. But it's just saying. And it's not like a terrible game either. It's just the weirdest thing in the world. I was not at all expecting what I got. And I think it's a terrible game to have for a kid's game. Because you're going to have to meet these goals to unlock shit.
I don't know. But is it fun?
Yeah, it's not really. The trick system was terrible. I felt like it couldn't do anything.
I don't think anybody expects really it to be a good game not anyway. Interested.
But it could have been something really cool, like the way Cars 2. Did you play that?
Yeah, I played Cars 2.
I mean, that was like Blur. That was a fun game. Cars 2 was like, and I have not seen the movie because I thought the first one was terrible and the second one is supposedly worse, and it doesn't surprise me because Pixar has just been going down the drain. They weren't responsible for Planes. I know that. It doesn't matter. They were responsible for Cars 2. And I did not like Brave. And Cars 2 was a great game, though. I don't know if I'd say great. It was a very good game.
I agree. Pixar is going downhill.
But from all accounts, from the whatever, DS 20, whatever, the Disney thing that happened like a week ago or something. Yeah. Their new stuff is, you know, it's all original. It's no more sequel bullshit. And it sounds interesting. So hopefully they can pull it together. Because the way, like, except for I didn't really care for either section of Brave, but like, I'd say with WALL-E and Up, they had great first halves, like amazing first halves. Mm-hmm. And then they just fell apart because they just cannot finish. They're like a Naughty Dog. But, yeah, the last game I played is I played a little bit just not too long ago, Plants vs. Zombies 2. It's about time.
And it's a free-to-play game now, right?
And I'm at a point so early on that it's impossible to judge how that's going to work. If like I haven't had to pay for anything at this point, and I haven't felt the need to. So, but I've only played 4 or 5 levels. So I can't comment on, like, maybe at a certain point it's going to be like, you have to pay to finish. And
yeah, like,
it's ridiculous how many things there are to pay for. Like, there is no unlock thing. Like, you can pay. I'm assuming you would unlock these in actual play, but they have the stuff like different plants and whatnot that you can pay for to unlock. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping you can unlock those in game too. Cause it'd
I just
be
think the pay-to-play model is ruining games. It's so, and people are so stupid. I see all these fucking women that we work with, all these fucking players, that stupid ass Candy Crush Saga on fucking their phones. I'm like, if you guys would pay $1, you could play a superior game to that for $1 and never have to worry about paying money. But no, you're going to still play that stupid fucking game because it's free.
And so far, I'm enjoying it, but I'm just not super interested in it just because it is so much like the first game so far.
Uh-huh.
And it just feels like it's been so long. I wish it was different. Like, the thing that bothers me is that I'm using the exact same strategy I used in Plants vs. Zombies, and it's working flawlessly. And I wish I was forced to try different things. But
my strategy was always to try to get a whole back row of sunflowers, and just kind of
that's what I always do. I keep 2 rows of sunflowers.
Oh,
and I always do it. I never fail to do it. I never lose anything ever in a fucking match in a little level. And it always works, and it continues to work. One of the new features I like is that you get like these little leaf power ups that you can drag to a plant, and then it'll supercharge for a little bit.
Oh.
And there'll be glowing zombies every now and again that when you kill them, then they drop it. So, or if you can use coins to buy ones if you need some, but you can get them from the zombies who drop them pretty regularly during a level. So, I like that. It's a nice little addition. But yeah, I don't care about Crazy Dave either.
I like Crazy Dave.
He sounds like a beatbox, and he should be in the beatbox game. He should be in Beat Buddy. Beat
Maybe
Buddy and Crazy Dave.
anyway, get on something.
You know, so it's fine so far, and you know, it's free, so can't complain at this point.
Yeah, you can complain. I don't care.
No, I don't. I'm not going to complain. I will never complain about a free to play game unless it becomes a game where you have to pay, and you have to pay a ridiculous, like, if you have to keep paying.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't. Stuff in.
Yeah, I don't mind games that are free to play, and then there's like, okay, there's a $10 unlock thing to unlock everything.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case of Plants vs. Zombies. There is nothing like that in the game. But there's no telling right now if there's ever a point in the game where you have to pay. So I'm not gonna comment on how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all I've been playing.
All right, movies.
Fucking Turbo Game. Jesus Christ. What is with that? But yeah, I saw Elysium.
I kind of wanted to see this, and then hearing all about it, I'm like, I don't think I really want to see it.
I hated it. Hate's a strong word. I just really didn't like it. And I am someone who enjoyed District 9. I was going to say District 3. I'm like, what the hell is that?
I thought you were going to say District B13.
Yeah. I saw that. I thought that was okay. But Elysium was just all the actors, other than the guy who was in District 9, whatever his South African name is. He was the best part of the movie. He's the only part I really enjoyed in Elysium. And I just like Matt Damon didn't do anything for me. What's her face? Lesbian.
Jodie Foster.
She is
Jodie Foster, lesbian.
I don't, you know, that's what she is. Nothing wrong with that.
She's won awards for her acting. She's always going to be known as a lesbian to Mark.
Didn't she like only recently come out officially?
I don't remember. It's been a while.
I don't even know if she actually officially came out. She just like alluded to it or something.
I don't know.
But
I don't really follow Jodie Foster.
She was terrible in it. She was awful. Her accent, her British accent, was going in and out from her normal voice. It reminded me of that Taylor Kitsch, or not Taylor Kitsch. Taylor Kitsch as Gambit in X-Men mm-hmm. Origins. I was like, Taylor Kitsch? No, Taylor Lautner. Taylor Kitsch. Stupid Taylor kids. But yeah, she was terrible in it. I don't even remember who else was in it. They were all terrible. The only parts I liked were that one dude. It was just so boring and generic. It wasn't that much action. What action there was wasn't super interesting, or I don't know. I'm very interested though in his upcoming movie. I don't remember what it's called, but the one about like the, I don't know. It almost seems like it's based on one of his early short films, but it's about like some, I don't know. It's like some weird comedy in a way. So that's what I'm interested about, a robot and like these two people who like take it and do shit with it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
I don't either.
But yeah, Elysium is a piece of poo. And I saw it on IMAX and holy God, I wanted to just burn down the theater after. Have you seen the trailers for that Metallica movie? Well, not
no.
even a movie. It's just like a giant concert that has like a stupid movie attached to it as right. they play, like it's going to come out. Because in IMAX, because that's going to be on IMAX, there was an IMAX exclusive, which was just like an extended video. So I had to watch this loud ass bullshit music that I don't care about for like 5 or 6 minutes before the movie. That shit was loud as hell. And it was fucking terrible because I don't give a shit about Metallica. And why the hell do I have to watch this goddamn extended music video before the movie? It was awful. It was awful. Metallica is awful.
I used to like Metallica when I was in high school.
You're awful.
Whatever.
Let's move on.
So, her Under the Dome got renewed.
Yeah,
and I
what
lost
to do.
All faith in this show after that. Because to me, I was like, I heard it was a miniseries, and you said no. They've never said anything about a miniseries. I was like, they originally did, and then like here, like, oh, it got renewed, and I have lost, like, I have no desire to really continue watching the show anymore.
Oh, you at least had that hope before. I do not like the show at all. I just keep watching it because of.
Since about the third episode, I have given up on this show and thinking, well, at least I'll finish it because it'll be over. And then when I heard it got renewed, I mean, it's just like they're going down.
I cannot stand the young girl. I don't know if it's the actor. I talked to my mom because she read the book.
Maybe it's
and
her forehead.
She said that she doesn't come across as such a bitch in the book.
No, she doesn't.
But like on the show, she seems like I just want to smack the living crap out of her. Smacks of Sensenor.
It's like, I'm just waiting for the episode where they're like, somebody forgets somebody's birthday in the dome, and everybody actually remembers, but they tell them, no, we forgot your birthday, and then they try to get out of the dome and almost get killed, and it's like, hey, we really did have a surprise party. That's just fucking stupid shit they're doing in this show. It's like everything that you've seen in every other show, they're going to do it under the dome. I'm like, ugh.
And I only like that one guy, the main, Barbie.
Barbie, yeah.
Yeah, I like that actor. I think the episode, like two episodes ago, where it started raining, I'm like, oh, they're definitely going to kiss in the rain. Shut the hell up. Bullshit. The one thing, like, I did not like pretty much, I can't even think of anything I liked from the last episode, except for the last line. When he's like, the one guy,
I haven't watched the last episode yet.
Which is like, the mayor, governor guy or whatever.
Yeah,
he like is talking about like, it's dangerous to be on the wrong side of my coin. And then the Barbie basically says something along the lines of, you know, that there's two sides to every coin. I like that little line. And then I was like, oh, I like that. I just want Barbie to kill everyone and then unlock the dome and then the show is over. But that's not going to happen. Please just kill everyone.
Just like, I just don't understand how the show, I mean, I don't know. It's bad because I hated the ending of the book, and I'm just like, well, maybe the show actually do a better ending. I'm like, now I can't even make it through the damn show because it's just so fucking stupid.
Yeah, the ending of season one is going to be that the dome is no longer over them, but under them. Season two, under the dome, where they're on top of the dome.
Under the dome two, over the dome.
Above the dome.
They're up in the clouds, and suddenly they find this,
it's like Bioshock.
Yeah, yeah. Under the dome and then over the world, yeah.
And then under the sea. Under the sea. I don't know the words of that song, so...
And then it's all gonna...
There's gonna be mermaids and talking crabs.
And then eventually it's just gonna become 6 feet under. So, you know...
And then Dexter's going to join the show and kill everyone.
Connected.
He's going to kill everyone, and I'm going to be happy.
So,
it's going to turn into Third Rock from the Sun.
I have been watching Video Game High School Season 2 as well. I'm really enjoying the season. Each episode's like 30 minutes long now, so it almost feels like an actual television season. I just really love this show. I think it's funny.
How long are the episodes? 10 minutes or so? Or what?
30 minutes.
30 minutes?
There's been like 4 episodes and they've been like 30 minutes long. 3 episodes.
Bam. That's way different than last time.
Yeah.
I haven't checked it yet.
And I still think Key is so fucking cute. So.
Yeah. I need to watch it because Freddie Wong is awesome.
So, and you've been watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I'm getting through season 2. It's fine. I just feel like this season is just, so far, I just feel like it's moving at a snail's pace. It hasn't been turbo-fied. I just feel like nothing has really happened that much. I'm like through 8 episodes, just waiting for shit to happen.
I feel like I'm the only one that can't get excited about this show. I've tried watching it 3 times now. I'm just like, to me, there's no redeeming qualities in this show. And I've told people that. They're like, you're just stupid because you don't like it. I was like, no, I don't fucking give a shit about meth. I can't fucking stand the characters.
I mean,
they're all fucking scumbags.
If you don't, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like, I don't like Mad Men and I watch it and I'm like, this is a well done show. I can see that, but I don't give a shit about this time era. I don't give a shit about all these womanizing bullshit. It's not my type of thing. I don't like smoking and all that crazy shit. So it's just not my type of show. It doesn't mean it's a bad show. It just means it's not for me. And I can completely understand not being into a show where the characters aren't really likable or they're not good guys and all that. Because, there are a lot of shows like that. And I think I don't really find Walter to be that interesting of a character. I'm much more interested in Jesse at this point, who's the younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hasn't grabbed me like other shows where the main character is a not-so-nice guy, like The Shield, which I loved. Or, you know, something as, you know, like the Sopranos, where he's not a good guy, but he's charismatic and you still want to watch it. So, but I don't know. I'll stick with it. I, whatever. I don't, I, I, I don't hate it. I'm just waiting for shit to fucking...
You're just amphibious to it. Amphibious? I don't remember. There's a word for that.
Ambivalent?
Maybe. I don't know. Speaking of that word that I can't pronounce, that's kind of how I feel about the book I've been reading. City of Bones, The Mortal Instruments, Book 1. They're actually making a movie of this. Yeah. It's coming out next week.
I kept seeing previews for it, and then I'm like, didn't that movie come out months ago? I guess not. I guess it was that other one, Beautiful Creatures or something.
I think the book actually comes out, or the book, the TV, the movie comes out on the 21st. I think that's Wednesday. But
I'm just waiting for movies to come out officially on Thursdays. Because the midnight releases are just moving back and back. Because now the midnight releases start at 8.
Thursdays. It makes sense. But, my problem with this book is, it's just one of those, it's so like, you've read the book before, even before you even turn the first page, you've read the same story 100 times. So basically, this girl can see demons and demon hunters and stuff that nobody else can see unless they want them to see them.
So it's Grimm.
Probably. I guess technically this book probably came out before Grimm, but it's like, I don't know, it's just like...
Not the Brothers Grimm.
It almost feels like you could tell that the character in the book is her idealized version of herself, and she's not really the main character. It's about all these people that are in love with her around her, or she's the most interesting person in the world because she can see
Twilight.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking terrible. It reads like somebody wrote themselves into a fucking Twilight movies fan fiction. And it's
so
just
it's
like
50 Shades of Grey.
I get it. It's not that the writing's terrible. But I'm just like reading. I'm like, this is, I don't know. I just can't put my finger on it. And then I started reading about the author because I'm like, because this book got recommended to me back when I was dating Laura because she's read all of them. She liked them. And I was like, I need something new to read. And I was like, well, the movie's going to come out. Maybe I can get through the first book and find it interesting. So that way I can go see the movie and then read the rest of the books. And I'm like, I just can't. I've made it like 40% through the book. And I'm like, this is terrible. And so I started reading about the author. I'm like, why is, and apparently she used to write. She actually used to write fan fiction for Harry Potter. And I'm just like, and she's like, oh, she got, people loved her fan fiction. And I'm like, so she actually decided to write a real book, but it's almost like she's still writing fan fiction and putting herself into a story. I don't know, man. I was really trying to get into it. I was like, I'm not really, to me, it's like, oh, she designed these characters in her head that look awesome in her mind. And then when she describes them, it's like, yeah, they sound like they're pretty interesting or unique, but then you're like, they have no purpose whatsoever. There's not really much background on them. They just sound like, oh, I wanted to make you picture something that looked cool in your mind. And I'm like, okay, it's just crap. It's not even really crap writing. It just seems really like unfocused. It's like so much weird tendrils are going off of it. I just can't get into it. I don't know. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Trying. So, but I can't recommend it so far, and that's 40% into it. So, that's the bad thing about Kindle books. I don't tell you how many pages I am anymore. It's how many percentages.
You can easily find that out.
So, but really, you can't because some books just don't have real page numbers.
Yeah, some, but I'm assuming that kind of book, something as big as that, will definitely have real page numbers.
Yeah. Oh, see, I'm on page 179 of 485. So I'm 37% in. I've made it a third of the way to the book. Maybe it gets better because, I mean, they've written like four of these books now and then like the three prequels or something at this point. So I don't know. It's just definitely, it did not hit me like Gone did, which I see Lunchbox read the first book of Gone. He seemed pretty excited about it. So I'm glad somebody actually listened to my recommendation.
Yeah, but it was Lunchbox.
Oh, now. So let's get to news. GameStop is scamming people with used copies of Xenoblade Chronicles. So Xenoblade Chronicles was the Wii game. Awesome. One of the best games I've ever played, especially on Wii. RPG. And it was actually brought over here by GameStop actually paid to have the game made and brought over here to the United States, and they had a deal with Nintendo where Nintendo sold some and GameStop was the exclusive in-store distributor of this game. Great idea, right? $50 for the game we bought new. Unfortunately, once the first game was ran through, all the copies were sold, And then the price of the game started going up on eBay. Apparently, it's hard to get a copy on eBay at this point for less than, like, it was like $150 at one point. So suddenly, GameStop stores started getting in copies at every location as used. And they were selling them for $90. And apparently, what people are saying is that if you open the case up, it looks different from the previous case. So it's a reprint. And so basically they're saying GameStop reprint got these games reprinted, but are selling them, are opening them up and selling them as used copies. So I don't know. I don't want to ask Kush because I know he doesn't really care about GameStop.
Well, no, I don't like the practice. I'm assuming that the reason they're doing it is because there's a some kind of clause or whatever that they have to sell it at MSRP of what is stated by Nintendo or something if it's a new copy, and that's why they're opening, because if not, then just don't open it and sell it new for 90. But I'm assuming that there is some stipulation, as I would, you know. But I mean, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, they take, you know, the last new game at every GameStop is the open one that, no, they did not take that home and play it. No, they did not. Oh, there's a little, some scratches on it. That just happened naturally. Bullshit. All those open copies, new versions are not new. I don't care what the hell they say.
Yeah.
And I hate the fact that when people buy those, then they're like, wait, hold on, we're gonna rewrap it. What the hell? You're not fooling me. Now I'm gonna have to unwrap it again.
Well, they do that because that way you still have a chance to return it and say, hey, I want my full money back. Because if you were to open it, you know.
I know, but I just don't like the fact that they call it new. They shouldn't.
Well, a lot of times they are new, though.
No, they're
because
not.
A lot of times, yeah, if it's been there for a day, it's been opened, and they sold like all the copies they have, the only ones left on the shelf, that one's probably new. It's probably never been brought home. Now, if it's been there for a week and it's brand new, it probably has been taken home by somebody. But I don't know. It's never bothered me.
You suck on the teats.
I don't care. I get so fucking sick of hearing that shit. I like GameStop. You know why I like GameStop?
Because it's the only place where you live.
Exactly. It's the only fucking place that I can go and say, hey, new game A came out and I want it. You know what happened? I didn't fucking pre-order Payday 2 and started hearing about it on podcasts. And I'm like, I really want to fucking play that game. I go to Walmart, they're sold out of it. I had to go to GameStop. Well, I didn't pre-order, they're sold out of it. So it's my fucking fault. But it's annoying because now I wanted a game and I can't get it. Now, GameStop might have had it if I had gone yesterday, but it's fucking annoying. I get annoyed to the fact that that Walmart doesn't treat games with respect because they think of them as kids' toys. And there's no place around here that doesn't. Fuck, I should have went to Kmart. I could have got paid at Kmart, probably. Anyway, I don't know. It's a shitty price. I agree. It's very, I don't know if it's scamming, but apparently you can't buy it for any cheaper on eBay. So I don't know. It just, it does seem kind of shady as fuck, but, but my thought is if you really wanted that game, you should have bought it when it came out. You should have knew that there weren't going to be that many reprints of it. Although,
well, unless
it is,
you just got a Wii now.
If you just got a, I don't know. I guess maybe.
Not everyone has the expendable money to just dump on games like you.
Well, you could pay on a little bit on time. They announced this game like a year before it came out. You could, if you can't find $50 in a year to buy a game that you're going to be excited about, then maybe you're probably going to need to find a different hobby. It's going to be expensive from here on out. I don't know. I say maybe sound like a total asshole, but I'm just saying, you know, you knew this game was coming out. You've been begging for the game to come out. If you didn't buy it when it came out, then that's your problem.
Well, there could be the people who weren't begging for it, and then they heard it was good, and then they want to play it now.
Yeah, I don't know. If you want to play it now, it's going to cost you $90, just like when I wanted to fucking play fucking Tales of the Abyss. I had to pay a fortune for that on PS2 for a used copy.
Really? How much?
I was back, it was like, I don't know, like $50 for a used back when I bought my copy. Or fucking Yoshi's Island on DS. I had to pay like $40 for it, used.
You're crazy. So, man, I could make a fortune selling all my games that I don't play.
Did you ever pick up Xenoblade? You didn't pick it up,
no,
did you?
I don't. I had no interest in it.
Awesome.
So it's not for me.
So, Xbox One to no longer require Kinect to function. Sorry, I had to laugh when I read that story.
It's the stupidest thing in the world. All these things make me want the system less and less. And it's embarrassing how they have not, they're not willing to stick to anything. It's just, you may say, oh, it's great that they're listening to people. They're just being a bunch of pushovers. It's not the same as listening. It's just falling flat on your face and just saying, here, walk all over me. And I will say that right now I don't believe there's ever been any word as to there being askew without it. So
to me, that's the problem. What's the use of being able to disconnected if you can just if they're
well,
not?
I think it's the people who are worried about it spying on you, which I think is the dumbest thing in the world.
Everything that you own is spy. Your phone can fucking spy on you.
I think that's stupid. But if they're just allowing that functionality that you don't need it plugged in, but that they're still selling it with every system, then that still allows developers to develop for that because they know people will have them. Because it's going to make sure that there really isn't any trade-in value. There's not going to be any worth to it, like trading in the Kinect, because nobody's going to want to buy it because everyone's going to have it if they have the system. So the value of that's not going to be there. So people are going to have it. They're just going to have it in their closet then. But if they hear about some great game that uses it, then they'll be like, I can pull it out. So that's the key in this. I mean, if they do fold fully and then release a Kinect-less Xbox One, then that's the end. Then I just don't even bring out the system.
If they bring out one without a camera, it's no big deal.
I don't want to support a company that is such a bunch of fucking pushovers.
I don't know. I don't know.
What they should do is, you know, to try and get more people, if they want more people to be interested in it, is that give a year's worth of gold with every new system. Because you're talking about how this system is all this connected stuff and you can do all these things, but you can't do it without a subscription. But if you get that when you buy the system, and
that's a great idea.
You know, and then that also helps the cost, you know, despite the fact that that extra cost is for the Kinect. People don't give a shit about that because nobody cares about the Kinect. But then if you give them a year's worth of Xbox Live gold,
they're going to pay that for that. If they got the system, they're going to pay for that anyway. So, you know, more than likely they're going to pay for that. So I don't know. I am happy though. They did include a headset in the box.
Yeah.
That was a smart decision because they were talking about not doing that. And that to me, if anybody remembers when the PS3 launched, how many people either A didn't have a headset or B had a Bluetooth headset that sounded like ass. It was made it like you didn't want to play your fucking PS3 online with people because you're like, ugh, I can't understand half the words they're saying because it sounds like they're talking through fucking water. So having a headset in there like Xbox 360 did, and you know, it's a smart fucking decision. And I can't believe it took them this long to do it. And I'm glad to see that PS4 also has a headset with it as well, and same kind of headset that actually can hooks into your controller, which is the best kind of headset, unless it's wireless.
Is it a different headset than the one they showed in the videos that was that freaking, you know, the air plugs with the fucking little mic off the side?
I think it's, it still had a mic. Are you talking about, this looks like a...
I'm talking about like because the original video that I remember seeing, like the thing that the guy was using was basically like the air plugs you get with a, you know, an iPhone or whatever.
No, this actually looked like an actual headset from what I've seen.
Then that's better.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. But anyway, last thing we'll talk about here is something I'm pretty sure me and Kush are both excited about. Grand Theft Auto Online.
I'm really excited for the game. I just hate the fact that it basically comes out like once I start school. A few weeks after that, I'm like,
yeah. But
son of a bitch.
That game looks so awesome. And then they announced the online component, and that just looks like so much fun.
I'm just amazed at how good it looks for this gen.
I'm so sick. I'm tired of hearing people say, though, that game's going to look terrible. They need to announce a PC version. I want to play the damn game. Shut the fuck up. I get so tired of the elitist PS or PC shit. Whatever.
I want it on PC, too, just because, I mean, the GTA games historically have a great mod community.
Yeah.
But whatever, there's no reason why they would ever release the PC version now, because they know that all these people who play it on console who can't wait will then pick it up on PC.
Yeah.
We double dip. That's what we do.
And I'm sure there's going to be an Xbox One and PS4 version next year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it'll be the Game of the Year edition when all the DLC that they have planned and all that stuff is...
And you know what? I'll fucking buy it, too, on that system as well.
Of course, everyone will.
Because I want to see... I want to play the fucking online shit on there. That'll be awesome. So, man, that it looks exciting. It's six. People are like, it almost sounds like an MMO, but it's like 16 players. But it sounds like from what my understanding is, from with the way they talked about it, and this is all kind of rumors and speculation. It almost sounds like my world is different. My online world gets saved if we play in my world, but yours online different is dynamic and is different than what mine would be, depending on what you did.
Yeah.
And that sounds really cool. So, kind of like a Minecraft world, you create your Minecraft world and you do what your items and stuff in there. But, you know, if I go to your Minecraft world, obviously it's going to be different because you played a different style with different people. Mm-hmm. So, if that's the case, that sounds pretty awesome. And the fact that you guys can roll in with teams and do heists and it just sounds so awesome.
And it just looked like there's actually like some kind of story element.
Yeah. So,
it looked insane.
And then they talked about that it's going to be expanded out and may even have more cities later. So I imagine we'll probably get Liberty City. I'm pretty sure they'll do that. Because I'm sure it wouldn't take much work to make Liberty City look like, you know, I won't say not much work, but I'm excited because it comes free with every new copy of.
I'm just super excited to go back to Los Santos. You know, I was always not that excited for San Andreas, but I was surprised by how much I did enjoy the story. Because it's not a story, it's not that kind of, you know, I don't want to be racist, but it's just not a story that interests me. I'm not that whole culture.
You don't have the cultural relationship to that.
And it's not just that, it's just the music side. Like, I don't care about that music. There's so much of it that's just not me that, but I was super invested in that. I really thought CJ was a great character.
Mm-hmm.
But what I loved about that game was the world and how, you know, how much variety there was. And that's what I love about this. You have the cities and then you have the off-road and the wilderness and all that.
Yeah, but
and it's just, it looks, but I swear every time I see a video for it, I look like there's way too much stuff to do. I'm going to have a heart attack.
And then they add that's even before the online component comes out 2 months or 2 weeks later.
And I'm curious, like, if everything is playable in the online version too. Like, if you go golfing, you can just golf with another person.
I think so.
Because I know,
sure.
Like, that's the thing that sucked about GTA 4 is that, like, you can go bowling. You can do things.
I read on one of the articles, like on GameSpot or something, that said anything that you can do in the main game, you can do online with the other people.
Just seems crazy.
So,
insane.
We can go fucking play tennis together, Kush. So, expect some videos of me and Kush playing shit, playing GTA when it comes out at some point, the online stuff. I'm excited.
That's a day one. I'm still not sure if I want to upgrade to the special edition because it just looks like such a piece of shit special edition. Compared to like the one for GTA 4.
But you had special editions for every one
it's
of them, right?
It's so shitty though. I like physical items. I don't want digital shit. And all it is some stupid map or whatever, blueprint map looking thing. God, I want that Claude statue.
What is the Claude statue?
That was just like a limited edition thing that they sold for, I don't know how, they made like 500. I gotta go look for that on eBay and see how ridiculously priced it is.
Yeah, and they showed on the GTA Online trailer too that you're gonna be able to make your own deathmatch areas and your own races, and that looked pretty fun to make to do your own race. You get to set the points like a Burnout Paradise. There's just like it's like they've rolled everything that came out in this generation into one game. It's crazy, fucking crazy. But I guess that's gonna be it.
I just want everything.
Okay.
I'm also very interested in the online now more so than the single player just because you can create your own character and customize
it. Yes.
Because that's the one thing that bugs me about the single player is that none of the characters really interest me that much.
And of course, I'm going to play a redheaded girl in yoga pants just so you guys know.
Okay.
So look forward to that.
Great. Thank you. I'm gonna play, guess what, somebody who looks as close to me as I can. I hope they have good beards.
Do you think they'll put a hipster bicycle in there for you? One of those old-timey bikes with the big wheels in the front?
Yes, because I ride around on a hipster bicycle. My name is Pee Wee Herman. I wear a bow tie. or wear stupid suits that I get at Goodwill, because you know what? I'm also hip that I don't pay anything for clothes. Fucking stupid shit.
Alright, that's gonna be it for the show. Let's get our plugs in.
Though I don't pay for clothes, because I just own, like, 21 V-necks.
And they're all white.
Yep. As white as me. PixelatedSausage.com. Go there. Or die. By Rob's perfect gentleman powers. He will body slam you or whatever he does. He'll sit on you. He'll sit on your face and eat chili and let it go through his entire body until it goes into your mouth. I'm on pixelatedradio.com. That's where the show is and all that. Rate the show on iTunes. Subscribe if you don't already. Other podcasts I do, Pixelated Sausage Podcast, do all that same crap on iTunes. Check out some other great shows like the Sign In Podcast at signinpodcast.com, the Twitter Nerd Comic Cast at twitternerd.com, the Undercover Unitards Podcast at undercoverunitards.com, and the Grand Am Unleashed Podcast at iTunes.nothing.searchbar.grandamunleashed.enter. No period. You don't need the period. The period might screw everything up. Don't put the period. Just
the only
press
time
enter.
You want a period is if you think your girlfriend might be pregnant.
That's a horrible thing to say. If she's pregnant, you just get an abortion.
Oh, gosh. This show just went to a dark place.
Oh, I'm pro-choice. Twitter.com/Chris3.
That's funny enough, even as a conservative, I'm kind of pro-choice, too. Although, if it was my child, I would be upset if somebody got an abortion. I'm just saying.
Let's get serious right now at the end about abortion. I'm pro-choice because I just look at it as being pro-freedom. Doesn't mean being pro-choice does not mean being pro-abortion.
Exactly.
It just means you're pro-person's right to choose. And I have no right to tell a woman what she can or cannot do. Though I do believe in the cases, you know, of like with a couple or whatever, that the man should definitely be part of that decision.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
It's not just, I mean, though the woman would be going through much of the physical burden, it's not just about you in that case, you know, unless it was like, you know, a one night stand and all that kind of crap. But if the man is significantly in the picture, you need to involve him. But I think it's just
opens up so many loopholes and stuff too.
It's such a tough situation, which is why I just have to be blanketly pro-choice. But I think it's despicable for anyone to not be at least pro-choice. Like in the case of rape, if you're somebody who says no, even in that, I think you're fucking get out of here.
Exactly.
There you go.
Anyway, thank you for this. Has been Pixelated Politics. Check us out on PixelatedPolitics.com.
Yeah.
I wanted to real quickly say that I want you guys to check out Chaos Pro Wrestling. I don't know if
when's your debut? Perfect Gentleman
I didn't actually wrestle, but I did go see one of their shows. And you know what? These independent wrestling shows are actually way more exciting than anything I've seen on WWE in the last 10 years. Some of the characters are fucking hilarious. Like, they had a team last night we watched where it was so funny. It was set up where the kid, this wrestler thought he was a 12-year-old kid in a man's body, and his other friend was a dog. And so he comes out with a bone, and he's wearing a collar. And it was just so endearing and funny because he would scratch this guy on the back of his head. He'd kick his leg like he was a dog. And everybody looked at him like they were weird, but they were so funny and such a good tag team. He comes to the ring in a backpack, and they're like, oh, what's a ref? You need to check his backpack. And he gets all excited and goes, does everybody want to see what's in my backpack? And everybody's like, yeah. And they opens up, and it's a Woody and Buzz action figure, and he starts flying Buzz around the ring. It was so funny. It sounds so stupid, but if you were there, it was really endearing. And then they had another tag team that was wrestling they were called WASP, which stood for We Are Shitty Partners. And basically, the partners couldn't stand each other, so they would be fighting in a match, and like one of them would try to tag the other one, he'd just kick him in the face. That would count as a tag, and it worked out so fucking well. It was hilarious. So, like I said, man, check out GTA. Check out CPW. Wrestling on Facebook, Chaos Pro Wrestling. Man, and also,
I'm so sad. That Claude figure is going for like 300 now on eBay.
One. You're interrupting my talk to talk about that fucking Claude figure.
Then there's a fucking an auction for it that is just the. Oh, thank God there are no bids. I thought it was already up there. A starting bid, $112 for just the box that the figure comes in and the guns, not the figure.
I wonder how much my Mila figures from the collector's edition of Tales of Zillia will go for.
I wonder if my Kubrick sets are worth anything.
Anyway, to get back to what I was talking about, because I had some important stuff to talk about.
What? You're talking about some fucking guy who pulls Woody and Buzz Lightyear out of his asshole.
It was interesting wrestling. Kevin David Hamster would understand. So
I don't. Whatever.
Hot takes, man. You know. And also, you should check out $5wrestling.com. That's, they find the shittiest wrestlers in the world and bring them in, and they don't realize they're in on the joke. It's hilarious. We watched the whole video of that the other night. It's terrible wrestling. Terrible wrestling. So, anyway.
I'm getting glasses in from this one that I'm trying it out. It's a very interesting service. I wanted to mention it. It's a Warby Parker, I think, where you get to, you go on the side, you look at glasses, then you pick five, and you get to try them on at home. They mail them for free. You get 5 days to try them on to, like, see if.
But how, what I understand, why do they send you five pair of black-rimmed glasses?
Not black rim, and you look through glasses, different kind of glasses, and then you select five that you can try on to see if you want to get one with your prescription in it, and then they will get you that you can select them. It's a way to try on glasses.
It's so antisocial, people don't have to go to the eye exam place.
They're different places. No, it gives you the ability to take them, you know, to get more of an impression from other friends and stuff. You're not going to take all your friends to a place. I mean, you can take a picture, but that's not the same. It gives you a better idea and more time to try out glasses.
Oh, God.
You're an idiot. I hate you. You're off the show, officially. You're not quitting the show because you're fired.
You can't fire me.
I can fire you. I own everything.
You can't fire me. I'll start another podcast.
That's fine. You're going to start Distributed Failure, except for you don't have the domain because you're an idiot. And you let it go to like some political moron.
Look, I can't help if somebody actually liked the name Distributed Failure.
What a waste. It's an utter disaster.
I was trying to get away from that podcast as fast as possible. That way, it's become a disaster. So, anyway, Henderson Man on everything. Look me up. We're going to get the fuck out of here before Kush starts talking about
Distributed Failures. August 18, 2013. Understand boosting your leadership skills here. Money and exactly how you handle they have an impact on what the fuck this guy can't write. Never mind. I don't even want to waste my time anymore. Okay,
let's
the show's over. Goodbye,
let's get out of here before Fish starts talking about how he gets shoes shipped to him. He has to find the right pair so his friends can pick what they like out of the five pairs of shoes.
No, it's because I have a fucking narrow head and these fucking, I've realized now that I have to look at kids' fucking glasses and I haven't found any, so I'm going to this side because everything else is sucked.
Is there any part of your body that didn't grow retarded?
No. My penis is normal. There's that.
That's only because you've seen other penises up close. Oh, snap.
No.
All right.
Nasty.